morning. It is Saturday, September 13th, I believe. It's a beautiful day in September. Whether you are reveling in an Indiana Hoosiers victory from last night or taking your morning constitutional walk in West Lafayette, Indiana, in preparation for the Boilermakers later on today. Welcome. You are Inside the Huddle. Kyle Etherington, along with Coach Isaac Chavez, broadcasting live on the radio, but also on HoosierlandTV.com. Coach, you are in your Purdue finery. How you feeling today in the black and gold?
Woke up, looked outside. It's a good day, just like I was promised on the weather app. Always trying to look ahead, plan for, you know, if we got rain coming in. Last night was a good night to cover high school football, and now it's time for the college boys.
Absolutely. Ready and willing and able, and hopefully for our Boilermaker fans, it'll end in a victory today. As much as that pains me to say it as a Hoosier fan, we've got several great guests on tap for you today, but speaking of high school football, let's go over a few of the scores from last night in the Hoosier Heartland Conference. Clinton Central and Sheridan battled, with Sheridan being victorious 42-0 over the Bulldogs. Taylor and Eastern had a wild and crazy one in Greentown, Indiana, with the Taylor Titans emerging victorious with a 21-20 score that came all the way down to the wire. And for Western Boone, they were victorious against Greencastle 76-34 last night. And the Lebanon Tigers were victorious over the Marion Giants 42-14. So those are a wrap on some of the local scores. I think we've got somebody on the line ready to go. And yes, it is true. Coach Jeremy Finley of the Clinton Central Bulldogs. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are doing wonderful. Coach Chops got his Purdue on. I've got my IU on. So it's a great day to be alive, as the great Tony Gabriel said. Last night, difficult night at Bud Wright Stadium. Overall thoughts on the game against the Blackhawks last night?
Well, I mean, clearly wasn't the result we wanted. But we had put together a good game plan. Some days you can't execute. And we, from coaching standpoint, player standpoint, like, it just felt like last night wasn't a Bulldog night.
And one thing in particular that you've definitely benefited from is the running game. Was it just a combination of just factors by Sheridan doing an excellent job on defense, whether there's some things that you're looking to improve upon, or just a combination of the two?
Well, I mean, a little bit of both, right? Like, I'm not going to take anything away from Coach Chesney. You know, he had Sheridan ready to play last night. I'm not going to make excuses. You know, like, we had a couple injuries that we had to put in some younger kids. They did phenomenal. Kind of changed our game plan a little bit late in the week. Tried to add a few things late to try to help counteract some of that. Again, just got out coached last night. That's basically what happened.
And we talked last week about the sickness bug kind of biting everybody off and on, but the injury bug starting to be kind of a bigger factor as we go throughout the season. How's everybody feeling? Everybody icing up? And kind of what's the injury status for your guys? Hopefully they're not doing too bad and everything like that.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, I think between the coaches and the players, we've had a number of individuals with the coughs and the hacks and the gags this week. From an injury standpoint, you know, unfortunately, we lost one of our young linemen for the season. Braylon Kreider broke his wrist. An amazing young man. Tried to fight through it. Just was more than we should expect a sophomore to have to do. You know, and then we have Elijah Gunderson has a calf issue. So I'm hoping here over the next week or so. We're very optimistic that we'll have him back here sooner rather than later. Other than that, though, just a few minor bumps and bruises. I mean, you know, you guys have been around this game a long time. You know, we're now about halfway through the season. So when you got guys that are going both ways, you know, literally playing 48 minutes of football, like this is where the conditioning and the staying on top of our personal health is going to help benefit us, hopefully, here in the backstretch.
100%, Coach. You're right. You nailed it there. Conditioning is very important in practice, especially keeping guys healthy. Kind of talk about how important that next man up mentality is in this game of football that we coach.
Well, I mean, it's anything we do in life, right? Like, if you have a single point of failure, then you're just planning to fail, right? So, you know, you try to get your best 11 guys on the field and try to find out. And, you know, we got a lot of young linemen, so trying to move guys from playing center to pulling guard to quick guard. You know, it's a lot to process. You know, I stuck a player in last night, and I put him in for Creed because Creed needed to come out. Well, I didn't even realize that Creed was playing an outside linebacker position at the time, so the young man was confused on what he needed to do. So there are just small things when you're still trying to get your best 11 out there. Sometimes you just got to be careful where you put them because sometimes they may be a better football player. They just may not be a better executor at the position.
I hear that's one thing that you got to adapt to on a daily basis, especially when you have injuries that are occurring during the season and then leading up to game day. As you mentioned, you guys had to adjust things late in the week. Coach, kind of talk about as your young guys are getting in and how those reps in practice, you know, how they're going to translate to the game. Kind of talk about going forward, not necessarily what your game plan is, but now that the young guys kind of might have an idea, talk about how important that this next step is for Clinton Central football.
Well, I mean, look, we've lost football games before. We've won football games before. What I think is important is that, you know, we come in Monday. You know, we're going to have a team meeting. We're going to kind of sit down. I had a quick meeting with the seniors after the game on Friday. Just kind of talk about, like, with this second part of the season, what do we want it to be? Do we want to just continue to just be in the conversation but never really knocking on the door, or we want to buck down and finish out these last few weeks as competitors? And I know the answer to the question. I know that we're going to come in Monday and we're going to be ready to go. We'll lick our wounds over the weekend and we'll get back after it on Monday.
And it's going to be a interesting bit of competition because you're going to be on the road once again this week going to Taylor. We're going to be broadcasting that live on HoosierlandTV.com. Sam Wirt and myself looking at the Taylor Titans. They've really had kind of a wild and crazy season once again with a big victory against the Eastern Comets at Eastern last night. We've kind of talked about the mindset, but what's the inside game plan and how you're going to attack the Titans? What can you tell us and what can you not tell us? Either way, we'll be happy with whatever you can give us.
Well, I mean, so I don't know if you guys know, but me and Coach Padgett actually coached together at Westfield.
Man, you know everybody. You are connected, my man.
So, like, I've known Rob for years, Coach Rob Stund. I tell you that because I know what kind of coach and what kind of man Coach Patchett is. So, like, I'm not surprised at the success that he's able to bring over there. You know, the Harris kid, the number 12 kid, is like, he's been a terror since he was a freshman. Like, everybody knew as this kid was coming up, he's arguably one of the best, if not the best, athlete in our conference right now. Like, I mean, so, but again, you know, knock on wood, we've been able to have some success against Taylor the last couple of years. Sort of like we've had a really good game plan. You know, Coach Patchett is an offensive-minded guy. I'm a defensive-minded guy. Always feel like our our games are really good strategically. We both are cut from the same cloth. We kind of have a very similar coaching tree background. You know, I mentioned Jake Gilbert. So I always look forward to this week just for that, because it's a personal challenge for me as a coach to go out and be able to compete against a friend and a former assistant coach together.
Now, when we're talking about friends and the coaching fraternity and everything like that, I know that different cities' mayors for the NFL teams, they have little wagers where the, you know, one will bet a bushel of apples and another will have some Omaha steaks and everything like that. Is it, not to get into too deep with the coaching fraternity, but is there anything that you guys are kind of like, hey, if we win, I'll take you out to dinner. If we win, I'll take you out to dinner type things going on with that?
No, I mean, it's more of a, we really see it like a clinic time. So when after the season, if you win or lost, like, you get to go and either get ribbed or do some ribbing depending on the outcome of the game. And it always makes for an interesting conversation at the social gathering there at the clinics. So, you know, it's all in fun. You know, it's a small fraternity here in Indiana for the head coaches. So, you know, we always wish each other the best of luck, except for the nights that we're competing. So, you know, and that's just like it was last night. You know, I got a lot of family and friends over here in Sheridan. But for that 48 minutes, you know, it's Bulldogs versus Blackhawks. So that's just the way and the nature of this game is.
And I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't really get is all the coaches know each other, and if you're involved in it for a long time, you develop these friendships, things like that. Kind of talk about younger kids who, you know, might like the athletic competition and everything like that, but they're just not the athletes and they want to get into coaching. What's one of the better ways to kind of get into that? Because it can be kind of intimidating where you've got all these people that know each other for, you know, sometimes 20 or 30 years. If you're a young kid, how are you wanting to get involved in coaching, and how would a young kid go about getting involved in coaching?
Well, I mean, two things. One, there's never enough football coaches. There's never enough mentors for young kids. So my advice would be, if you're a young individual and you're truly interested in coaching, I'll tell you what I did. I just emailed the guy that was the head coach at Clinton Central several years ago and told him I was retiring from the Army and wanted to meet and see if there was any way I could help the team. And, you know, and we still have that now. Like, I have young players or former players that want to stay involved with the game. And, you know, it's just all about expectation management, right? Like, you don't get to go from a former player one day to the head coach the next. I mean, this game and this job does require a little bit of teeth cutting, and you gotta go out and, for lack of a better term, pay your dues. But we're always interested and love having anybody around that is willing to pour into our kids.
100%, Coach, you're awfully right. When I came back from Manchester, I got involved there in the Frankfort High School program, now going on my eighth year coaching. I've coached in 180-plus ball games, and it can be very rewarding, especially when you have young guys that come back and coach. I'm at a point in my career where now I have guys graduating, and they want to come back and help us out in the baseball field or help us out in the football field. So it's truly a great asset to have kids that are investing in the game, and not only investing in the game, but taking your word and showing the next generation. Coach, here in closing, as we look ahead for Clinton Central football program, kind of tell us about, you guys, I know you guys got some injuries. You guys able to get a JV team out today?
Well, we don't play on Saturdays.
Okay. All right.
Well, so I think our next JV game may be, so yeah, we'll have a JV game against Sheridan. I might have to check. It's either Monday or Tuesday is when we play. It might be Monday, I think.
I know those days.
But we should be okay. We maneuver stuff around. I'm just a firm believer in that in order to continue to build a program, like, you, it is paramount that those younger kids get to compete against skill-level competition. So even though we see some of our younger guys get to play on Friday for a quarter or two, I still feel that in order for their personal growth, they need to get out and do some competing, you know, either at the freshman or the JV level. For us, it's the JV level because we don't have a freshman team. So it has been a point of emphasis for me since I got here to make sure that once we were able to stand a JV team up, that we continue to do so.
Okay.
I would like to just say one thing to my team that's listening. Gentlemen, look, I'm extremely proud of you. I'm standing with you. We are going to fix this. I look forward to picking it back up on Monday and seeing where this journey takes us.
Couldn't think of a better way to end the segment. A wonderful message out to the Clinton Central Bulldogs all listening in. We appreciate the listen, and, Coach, we appreciate the call. Coach Jeremy Finley of the Clinton Central Bulldogs, thanks for calling in, Coach.
Thanks for having me.
And with that, that's going to conclude the first quarter. We will be right back after a short break. You are listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskybrothers.com.
Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, right after Party Line, WILO and Boone 102.7 bring you a moment of pure positivity. It's the pet of the day. In partnership with the Clinton County Humane Society, we shine the spotlight on adoptable dogs and cats just waiting to meet their new best friend. Maybe that's you. You'll hear their names, their stories, and what makes each one special. Whether they're playful pups, curious kittens, or wise old souls, these shelter residents are ready for a forever home. So tune in, fall in love, and help spread the word. Because sometimes, the right tail wag or gentle purr is just a broadcast away. That's Pet of the Day, every Tuesday and Thursday. Only on WILO and Boom 102.7, where every animal has their moment to shine. Brought to you by Wampler Services Incorporated, Encompass Credit Union, Travelers Point Distillery, Aaron's Flooring, and Blue Fox Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Proud supporter of Second Chances and Furry Friends.
Our Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Gettysburg Address, President Lincoln's Bixby Letter, links to all 63 national parks, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, a Norman Rockwell tribute, state mottos for all 50 states, and much more. Hi, I'm Russ Casper, President and CEO of Casper Media. I encourage you to check out American Treasures on BooneCountyDailyNews.com and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Look for American Treasures tab at the top of your free local online daily news site. Go to Clinton County Daily News or Boone County Daily News and rediscover our precious, enduring American treasures. Our world-famous Bill of Rights tops the list. We even include some pretty cool videos. American Treasures, let me know what you think.
If you have any suggestions to add to our American Treasures collection, please reach out to Russ Casper of Casper Media at frontdesk@casperradio.com.
Back once again. This is the second quarter of Inside the Huddle. Kyle Etherington, Isaac Chavez. It is Saturday morning. We have got our college football gear on. Definitely looking forward to some wonderful college football today, but we are talking high school football from last night. We've got Coach Blake Betzner of the Carroll Cougars, who were big-time victorious in the Bacon Bowl last night. Coach, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. Thanks for hosting us last night. If our ears are still ringing from last night, it's because the noise and everything like that was just going absolutely insane. We're a little upset we didn't get a free T-shirt from the cheerleaders. But overall, Carroll, pretty convincing victory over a cross-county and a conference rival.
Yeah, you start with the community piece of it. I'm so thankful for our parents. They go out, they go above and beyond. They do so many things for the players and just for the community to be part of it. You know, Jamie Jackson, she's our kind of our team mom, and all the other parents that help out. She talks to me every week about how we can do some different experiences for these young people. And we talk about it all the time. That's what we're in the business to do, is just give kids experiences and things they wouldn't be able to do another time. So I'm just so thankful how much our community pours into this program, and how our parents are and how our kids are. They're very thankful. It's a really cool atmosphere. If we had two former Northwestern players come to watch us last night, and guys we coached a long time ago, and they just said, this is insane. This atmosphere is crazy for a 1A school. So it's really cool to see other people's perspectives and what Carroll, you know, the Carroll community is really like. It's pretty special.
Coach, you nailed it. That was a great answer. I like what you said. One of the things we mentioned last night's game, as I was telling Kyle, the atmosphere there is absolutely electrifying. It almost feels like a miniature college football game. I was telling him, I was like, my little brother is a senior in Arlington, Texas, and the atmosphere they get there in Texas football could very well match up to what you guys got going on Carroll. That, you know, maybe in a little smaller scale, but it is awesome. I was telling Coach, my little cousin is Kale Hernandez, and I was talking about how my family was a part of those teams in the 90s, and that every kid on that Carroll team runs hard. They finish runs. They play to the whistle. And you guys have embodied of what it means to truly be a Carroll Cougar, especially, you know, getting and remembering the teams that I grew up watching. And I'm talking about, like, those VHS films I used to watch my Uncle Frank and all them play. So you guys got a great thing going, and I just wanted to congratulate you guys on that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
And looking at the team stats, I no lack for anybody that you could talk about. Aiden Wiles had a couple of touchdowns. Mr. Carey had a wonderful couple of plays, both on offense and defense, with a fumble recovery, a pick up six. As I'm just gonna, you know, basically copyright that phrase. That way, I can get some money on the side. And then you got Emery Deaton. Highlight play going to the left side and then cutting it back, going all the way across the field. A lot of highlight plays last night from all your guys.
Yeah, we knew we had some, a few special guys that could carry the ball. And Emery, obviously, is one of those guys. Aiden Wiles is another one. And Cale Peters is playing really, really well. So we kind of, we've learned to kind of expect that from those three. But two guys I thought have really just grown up and played really, really well is Landon Hammond. Landon is our other wing back. He doesn't get a lot of carries, but what he blocked after watching the film last night, he blocked really, really well, and that's a big reason why those holes were open the way they were. And then Michael Carey is a John. But John Carey is a sophomore. And he's one of those big question marks we had coming in. I'm just not sure if he's ready to play varsity football yet. Can he compete? And he's proved it in four games. He belongs, and he's become a really, really good player. Also, one thing we've been on our kids a lot the first three games, and I don't think we've won the line of scrimmage the first three games. You know, I think we've won it at times, but I don't think we've dominated it. And that was the big thing we took all week, is we think we're pretty good up there, and we just haven't shown it. And those guys came out and just obliterated the point of attack and the line of scrimmage. And so if we go in the line of scrimmage, it makes it a lot easier for those guys to run the ball and do the things they do. So really proud of the guys for coming in and winning the line of scrimmage last night.
And the defense, not only able to get a defensive touchdown, able to force the offense of Delphi into a bad snap for a safety on special teams, really did a wonderful job throughout. And then at the end of the game, I seem to remember, I think the student section was chanting for a certain player the entire game, it seemed. The young man got into the game, and by goodness, he was able to get a pretty good play and ended the game on a really high note. I'm not sure if you were aware of the chanting going on, but I think you subbed in the right guy on the last play of the game. Kind of talk about that a little bit from your perspective.
We wholeheartedly believe in a program that wants every kid to be part of it, even if they're not the best football player. You know, we want them, if they have trouble in school, we want them to be part of a family. They understand what it's like, and how you work for each other and do the right things for each other. So we go around and look for young men that need stuff like that, and you know, or can be part of the program. Judah Pitts is the young man you're talking about. He's been part of our program for 2 years, and really has bought into to doing the right things. And he had there was a ball that fumbled right in front of him, and he grabbed it, and he was excited. And it's just so heartwarming to watch those things, watch those experiences. Those kids can tell their kids someday that, you know, in the Bacon Bowl, I got a fumble recovery, and it's you know, it's what we do it for. It really is. It's why we're coaches, and to see those kids have those really cool experiences.
I could hear the Rudy motion picture soundtrack playing in the background as it occurred as well. I was almost expecting him to be lifted up on everybody's shoulders and carried off the field. Was that talked about? Because he was celebrating pretty well on the sideline. He was beating up just about every single person that got near him, it seemed.
Well, he's about 6'4", 270.
Yeah, so he'd be a dude.
we're gonna have to have a couple guys pick him up. I don't know if we want to do that. Maybe he could grab a couple, but no. Yeah, again, yeah, he's just we've gotten to know him really well. He's a good young man, and I just hope he continues that path and continues to work. And he's only a sophomore, so got a couple more years. There's a lot of kids like that. You know, a lot of kids got their first varsity experience last night, and it's fun to see just their excitement to get in on a varsity game.
I'm glad you brought that up, Coach. That was what I was going to ask next. So you get into the game. We're getting ready for the Bacon Bowl. We got pregame. We're starting to set the tone. Things are going really well for you guys going into halftime. Kind of talk about what you're doing to maintain those guys. I know you guys are looking in a pretty. You guys were in a pretty good position. Kind of talk about how that opportunity opens up for the young guys to get an experience in for Friday night, especially in the Bacon Bowl against Delphi there last night. Kind of talk about what that means for your guys' program to those young guys, you know, getting an opportunity to play, and then, you know, just keeping the foot on the gas. Just that's one of the things Coach and I talk about. We try to put ourselves in the coach's position, and I kind of just talk about what your thoughts were and what the opportunity meant for those young guys.
Well, there's a couple things that go into it. You know, you want to get out healthy. You don't want to be sick on Saturday morning when you're up 45-0 at halftime and Aiden Wiles, you know, takes a hit. So, you know, I went into halftime and said, you know, Pete, you know, Cale Peters, Dwiles, and Emery, you're not playing anymore. You're done. You're, you know, like that's, you've taken your last snap. And so we went ahead and right away got in. You know, we kept our linemen, our defense, offensive linemen in for a first series. So we had the ball, and we had all young guys running the ball. And then defensively, we took out about six guys, started the third quarter. So, you know, and we expect them to play, you know, like, hey, if someone goes down, you got to be stepping up and ready to play. So it's, you know, we don't expect them to still move the ball and be able to, you got to still move the ball. And then the other side of it is, you know, there's going to be a game where, you know, teams can put it on you. And we don't ever want to be a team that does that to teams. We just don't. I've never had interest in embarrassing people. I've never had interest in, you know, seeing how many points we can score, how many stats we can get. You know, I think that's the part of the gentleman's game of, you know, coaching is, hey, you know, we got this one done. We're all healthy. Let's take care of our kids, let them get in, but let's not embarrass anybody else either.
And a lot of those young kids, they're definitely going to get another taste of some great high school football action this coming week as you are on the road going to Greentown against the Eastern Comets, who lost a heartbreaker to the Taylor Titans. Basically putting the Cougars firmly in the driver's seat as far as the conference is concerned in your own destiny. Kind of talk about what you're expecting from Eastern and what you expect to do to take down the Comets at their place.
Yeah, Eastern's always, I've been here 4 years and this will be my fifth, and they're always big, fast, physical. You know, I remember telling the kids the first year I was here, I had on our scouting report, the 4 years previous, we had lost them 177-14. And I, you know, I said, that needs to stop. That needs to change. You know, we scored the first 14 points on them my first year, and then they beat us 35-14. And I just knew we weren't there yet. We, you know, we need to get back in the weight room. We need to match their physicality and strength. And until we do, we can't compete with them. So I know what they're going to bring, and we've been lucky enough to beat them the last 3 years, but I know they want to get back to where they were. And it's going to be a battle because, I mean, I think there's, you know, kind of a fight of who's going to be at the top of the conference. And, you know, with Sheridan playing the way they are now with that win last night, and, you know, Eastern, and Taylor's really good. I think a lot of people don't understand how good their quarterback is. He's elite, and he's hard to deal with. So anytime he's on the field, he's going to be tough to deal with. So they're a tough out. So it's going to be fun, and that's what I love about our conference. Every game, we haven't came into a game like, hey, this is going to be one we can just get some young guys in. Delphi and Eastern, with 2 minutes left to go in the game, in the third quarter, is 21-18 last week, and I thought Delphi played them really, really well, and then just fourth quarter happened and kind of stretched it out. But I'm sure Eastern's going to be ready to play, and it's going to be our boys are going to be ready to play, and it'll be a fun game.
Well, Coach, best of luck this week. Rest up, enjoy the weekend festivities with the family, and thanks for calling in to Inside the Huddle today.
Yeah, thank you guys. Have a great one.
Hey, you too. That'll conclude the second quarter. Isaac Chavez, Kyle Etherington on Inside the Huddle. It's going to be halftime. We will be back in just a few moments. You are listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
High school sports are a true team sport and not just for the starting lineup. I'm Claire Hack from Jennings County High School.
And I'm Grayson Mealy from Westell High School. That's because every person involved in high school sports is essential.
Each student athlete contributes something unique to the team.
Coaches guide and mentor their athletes on and off the field.
Officials protect the integrity of the sports they love.
Fans unite and cheer for their team as one.
Without any one of them, high school sports simply aren't the same. That's what makes them a true team sport.
It takes everyone coming together to achieve the ultimate purpose, preparing student athletes like us for life.
Whatever role you play, thank you for being on our team.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig. Thank you for being a champion of high school sports by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is rallying around our student athletes. This is being a good teammate. This is your IHSAA.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierLandTV.com archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
WILO weather for all of North Central Indiana. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 85. Tonight will bring a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 64. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high near 90. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. News and weather updates 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Back once again on Inside the Huddle, Kyle Etherington, Isaac Chavez. We are now joined in studio, going to be throwing the football through the air and turning into a volleyball as we've got Kia Rushton of the Frankfurt Hot Dog volleyball team. Coach, you've brought a guest. We won't talk to the guest or anything out of my fear for my safety and everything like that. But how are you doing this morning? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Well, I brought my daughter Avery with me this morning, but she absolutely will not talk on the air. We're doing great. We've had a really long week, and we had a really fun win on Thursday. So we're ready to go.
Well, you've been kind of the road warriors throughout Indeed. Most of the season. You had your first home opener against Cascade, mm-hmm. able to win 3-2. Kind of talk about that matchup that you had in your home opener, because it's got to feel great to start the season off at home with a W.
Yeah, it was a really amazing environment on Thursday. Jason Hutton came out with the band, and Kira Wood came out with Fortissimo. We had the student section kind of took off where we left off last season. It was big, and the kids were loud. And We had a lot of compliments from Cascade parents and players also about the environment. So that was really cool. But Cascade and us have the same team dynamic. And so it was just a barn burner the whole time. We were point for point there in game five, and it just was a matter of who was going to make the fewest amount of mistakes at the end. And, you know, we had some really great people step up. Caroline Queen went back there and served the last five balls and just, you know, completely faced that pressure head on. Really proud of her.
Well, one thing in particular, taking a look at the stats for your team, Jalen Smith, 38 assists, 13 digs, 7 kills.
Mm-hmm.
Heck of a effort right there. Lily Rockhold, 27 kills, 4 aces, 3 blocks. And then you've got Chloe Moody with 7 kills and I believe well over 50% on
mm-hmm.
hitting.
Yes.
So kind of talk about all them, because those are some pretty amazing statistics just from mm-hmm. one game, one match of volleyball.
Well, I do have to say that all 8 of the girls who played did their job to the best of their ability. And Jalen, you know, she's just a rock. She's lived in the gym for the last 4 or 5 years. And so she's learned how to lead her team and how to play hard and pick it up in tough situations. She probably the biggest difference for her this year has been defense, too. She volunteered, you know, hey, let me try to do it against their best hitter. And, you know, little things like that and her enthusiasm and leadership really help out. Lily was on fire. She was on. She hit really well through their block, around their block, running new plays. And, you know, she's 13th in the state in kills right now, I believe. And so that's really cool. Chloe Mowdy is one of those girls that when we can get her going, she's going to make a difference because she's front row with Lily. And, you know, when we get that block to stay with her, things go well. And that was a personal best for her. Those 7 kills and hitting .583 was just a really impressive night for her. It was really fun.
And I'm sure Case Arena was just loud as can be, because that's one of the loudest arenas in the entire state of Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kind of describe from your standpoint on the sidelines just that environment. Do you find it difficult to kind of stay focused on the game going on? Are you able to block things out? Or do you have a moment where you can kind of take in the enjoyment of the whole thing?
Well, I don't have a moment to take in the enjoyment until the end, but it was very loud. We take our girls out to the hall between games because with the band going and the kids yelling, they can't hear us. And during timeouts, it's pretty difficult. We have to huddle in together to hear each other. But I think it's an advantage. And I think that the whole school was bought in and the parents wore their Hawaiian shirts, and it was just really great because of all of those elements coming together. But, you know, the louder the kids get, the louder and better the girls play, especially Lily. You know, the student block was yelling boom every time she had a kill, and, you know, that gets you fired up, the whole team. So, yeah.
It was always a fun time to be in the student sections there in Case Arena. And as new teams are coming in, we're in this new conference here, Coach. Kind of talk about, have you guys played Cascade before? I know as a coach going against teams, sometimes you have a little bit of a familiarity,
mm-hmm.
or maybe sometimes we're seeing, you know, new teams for the first time. For myself, you know, coaching football and baseball, there are going to be a couple teams I see for the first time, know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of talk about maybe Cascade, preparing for Cascade and these newer teams that we've maybe seen before, or this is a team that you guys have fit in the schedule in the past.
Well, I mean, I've got to say that having good relationships with coaches in your conference and county is really important. And so I've definitely already established a pretty good relationship with Greencastle's coach, I think. Her and I were able to chat last Saturday a little and get to know each other, and she was able to share some film with me on huddle, and so we completely changed our defense just to set up right around their best hitters, and they adjusted, which made us adjust again. It was really fun seeing all of that come together. But yeah, we were very well prepared for Cascade, and Southmont helped us prepare for Greencastle, and that's, you know, getting a new team in there that we've never played before. You're right, Cascade has never been on our schedule. It was kind of intimidating and stressful, but now that we've got one over, it seems to be a little bit better now.
The pressure is totally off. And Isaac, you referred to Coach Rushton as Mrs. Rushton. How kind of describe it, you guys' relationship and how long you've known each other as well, because that's one thing that I especially appreciate.
One thing about me, any teacher that I've always had in the past, and no matter how older I get, you know, they tell me to call them by their first name. I will always call them Mr. or Mrs., or I'll slide in the coach. But that's right, Mrs. Rushton was my teacher when I was a high school student there at Frankfort.
Yeah.
Was he a good child?
It's Chop, man.
It's
he
Chop.
Was awesome.
All right.
Chop.
That's what I thought. But I always got to ask that. We will not have any of my teachers call in or talk or anything like that. going back to the kids that currently on the team, Jalen Smith in the Delphi win, I wanted to make sure that I highlighted this, 2,000 assists.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
How is that possible? Like, to me, that just seems like just a unbelievable number just looking at it.
Yeah. Well, she's been a starter since she was a freshman. So, and she's always ran a 5-1. So she's definitely set herself up for that. But like, even between her freshman and sophomore and junior year, her ability to get the ball to the right hitters at the right time has paid off, which has allowed her to get to that number.
And one thing with the new conference, what is the goal looking forward? You got the home opener against Cascade. Mm-hmm. You've been playing some really good competition on the road. What are we thinking? We hoping conference championship, sectional championship, state championship, or anything in between?
We've already dropped the match to Greencastle, and I anticipate that they'll be the conference champions. They're a very good team with 8 seniors and very well coached. And they've already beat Western Boone and Cascade and us. So those are kind of the 4 leading teams. We have an opportunity on Thursday to play Western Boone, and they're down a bit. This is their first season without Laura Bragg coaching. And, you know, we're really fired up, ready to host them and maybe recreate that environment from Thursday to get that. And if we can get that, we have a really good chance of getting second place, which hasn't been done in a long time.
And that's really exciting. So Thursday, what time do students need to be there for possible tailgating and possible dress-up themes as well? Any info on that?
Well, I don't have the scoop on the dress-up scene, but the students all arrived by the start of the JV game on Thursday, and that was a really, really cool to see the JV's reaction to having that big student support. A lot of times, you know, for other sports, they'll arrive a little later, and the JV plays in a quiet gym, but man, they loved playing in that loud gym, and so I would love everyone to be there by 6 to do that again.
And will the mascot be there as well? That's also another question.
Definitely. We love Big Blue, and Big Blue takes the job seriously. So.
I remember Frankfort at Rossville. I was walking through, and Blue looked at me and didn't blink once and basically gave me the look of, get out of my way. This is going to be my gym tonight. So that's really exciting.
Definitely.
Chop, are you going to be in the student section that night? Can we expect some fireworks from you? What are you thinking, my man?
We talking next Thursday, right?
Yeah, next Thursday, man.
Man, you guys know I have a big bang schedule. I will do my best. I will try. But Coach, here in closing, we've mentioned you guys have had a couple of opportunities. You need to talk about the JV getting the first time. Well, not their first time, but playing in front of a crowd and the varsity getting the student section there. Kind of talk about how not necessarily your senior leadership, but the overall leadership of the team and managing moments like that. You guys don't let it get too big for you. You guys stick to your game plan. Kind of talk about what goes on and the thoughts during times like that.
Well, I think that this group has been together for a long time. Those juniors started playing for me in 3rd grade. So together, they just kind of form up. And, you know, Grace Myers is my only sophomore coming in there with all of those juniors and seniors. And they just come together, and they know how to communicate with each other, and they know what fires each other up. And, you know, we don't shove Lily out on the court, but we can jump on her back, for example. Emily Gill was having a phenomenal night on Thursday, and they just celebrated her and brought her up. And in those tough spots, that's what gets it, the culture, the relationships that they have together.
Well, Coach, we thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us. All good thoughts for the Lady Hot Dogs the rest of the way, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. It was a pleasure coming in.
Hey, we'll have you anytime. No problem at all. Guests, all right. No guests, your choice. Yep. Okay.
Well, after we hopefully beat Weibo, maybe next Saturday.
Hey, there we go. we'll keep updated on that. And you can definitely check out those results on social media and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. That's going to conclude the third quarter of Inside the Huddle. We will be right back after these words from Winsky Brothers.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
The Hoosierland TV Game of the Week is back.
Kruzmix back to pass. Firing deep downfield. Looking for Alex King. Has him open. King makes the catch. King to the 1 yard line.
And it's better than ever.
Brayden Keeley Haas for the lead. Oh, my. Are you serious? Brayden Keeley Haas, the sophomore.
More games.
The Clinton Prairie Gophers are going to win the Corn Bowl.
More touchdowns.
Creed Menon on the outside. Menon makes three men miss. Now cuts it back towards the middle. Creed Menon's going to go. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bulldog.
More dunks.
McGraw to Harshbarger to Nick Kurt.
The Monster Slam.
More web gems.
Places at the third. It's caught by Ben Slicker. Throw to second. In time. Double play.
More buzzer beaters.
They give it away to Skiles. Inside. Got up. And it falls. Goodbye, Skinner.
More high school sports, only on HoosierlandTV.com. This Friday, catch the Hoosierland TV Game of the Week as the Clinton Central Bulldogs take on the Taylor Titans. Coverage begins at 6:45 with kickoff at 7, only on HoosierlandTV.com. The Game of the Week is brought to you by Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Healthy Exteriors, Norman & Miller Eye Care, Gary Body Shop, Wampler Services Incorporated, The Farmers Bank, Winsky Brothers, Barrett Farms Express, Encompass Credit Union, Busy Bee Stitches LLC, Tier 1 Meat Company, Fiberhawk, and the Frankfort Moose Lodge.
Back once again, it is the fourth quarter of Inside the Huddle. Kyle Etherington, Isaac Chavez, and now Kathy Martin of the Clinton Prairie Gopher volleyball team. Coach, welcome into studio. How are you on this Saturday morning?
Yeah, thanks. We're doing well. We already had a junior high tourney this morning, so now we're here doing the radio, so it's a great day.
Oh, wonderful bit of energy in the booth with you, Coach. But you've got some youthful energy on your team this year.
We do.
might need like name tags for the people in attendance because they might not recognize all the new kids. Kind of talk about your new faces this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So graduating six, you know, anytime we do that, it's going to be a big deal, you know, out on the team. And so this year we have two freshmen that are starting on varsity. They're doing great things for us. But we, at one point I looked out early in the season, we had two freshmen, two sophomores, and two juniors out on the court. And at some point, I think I'm getting too old for this, but this has been really good for the team overall, for our girls. You know, we have a program that's really doing well, and they've been able to step in and fill in those roles. And so it's been a great thing for this season.
Do you ever, when it comes to the older players, the more veteran players, and then you bring a bunch of young kids in, do you ever worry about the trust issue, not just from you as a coach, but also from them as a player? Because I can remember that when I was a senior, a lot of my fellow classmates didn't trust the freshmen as mm-hmm. much early on. How do you deal with that, and how do the girls kind of deal with that as well?
Yeah, I think from a coaching perspective, it was really nice that these last few years I've been able to go down to the junior high levels, be in some of their practices, get to know these girls, and that they get to know me. And so that helped coming in this season. I also think our players overall knew, like, hey, we graduated a lot and we're getting a lot. And so that's a good thing. How can we make this work as a team? That team buy-in has been huge. Of course, we have growing pains, right? And of course, we have games where, hey, we just lost that point because of our inexperience or the experience of the other team in that. And that's okay. As long as we continue to learn in those things and keep moving forward, that's what's important.
Well, it's been working out pretty well, especially in conference play. Had the conference opener win over Carroll, three straight. Kind of talk about that victory and kind of talk about the conference going forward, because you've got some powerhouse teams all vying for that spot to take home that trophy.
Yeah, and that's great for our area in volleyball, in our conference, all of those things. We've talked over the summer. We actually did a competitive play day over the summer with Frankfurt, and we pulled all the girls in. We're like, listen, it's going to be competitive, you know, when we play Frankfurt, when we play each other. But if Frankfurt doesn't get better, there's a ceiling for Clinton Prairie too. And so we have to do this overall. Like, this is a good thing to come together and have these moments. So we've seen that overall in Clinton County and our conference that, you know, we've got some good volleyball. We've got good volleyball in our area, and we want that. We want that competition. We want to have that as a whole for all of our student athletes. So that win against Carroll was really good for us. It was, you know, that first conference game. It was away. It's the first time for, you know, our babies to kind of get their feet wet. And so that just worked out really well for us that we can grow and continue on, you know, into the conference. Thankfully, our schedule is set up that we don't have a bunch of conference play right at the beginning, and we kind of get to get into it a little bit. And so that's a positive thing for us.
Absolutely. And one thing that we were remarking with Coach Rushton of Frankfurt is just the atmosphere alone has just been electric for volleyball. And I think that's got a lot to do with just kind of the exposure of the sport and just the explosion in popularity as well. Kind of talk about your fans, because not only are your fans amazing at your games, but I believe that on your social media account, some of your girls kind of taught some of the younger kids how to cheer at a football game and where to stand and everything like that on TikTok. So kind of talk about all that.
Yeah, they did, which is so good that it's not, you know, just making fun of them, right? They're not telling them you're doing the wrong thing. We're actually showing all of the fans, right, how to cheer, how to get into the game, that this is what we do. At our first home opener, when, you know, we have about the fifth person come up to us and say, you have a good crowd. You know, finally I'm like, well, maybe we shouldn't be surprised anymore. Like, this is where we are, and this is a great thing, whether that's the parents and family members, whether that's our student section, all of those things have been great for the volleyball atmosphere. You know, that makes a huge difference. You know, there are times where we go to another school and it's quiet in the gym, and I'm like, what are we doing? Right? Like, you feel like you have to whisper. But that is huge and says a lot about Clinton County as a whole, you know, when it comes to athletics.
Chop, I can visibly see this in my mind, playing a JV game. No one is talking, and my girls aren't talking on defense, and a baby started crying across the court. I said, ladies, you got to talk more. I can hear that baby over there. Things like that.
Yeah,
you definitely don't want to hear a pin drop, and I'm glad that you guys have created an atmosphere that the girls enjoy being a part of. And you kind of talked about, you guys got some underclassmen, we got a mix of girls. Talk about when you guys get in moments like that, what you guys do to control and stay in the moment, and then maybe kind of talk about maybe some of those team goals that kind of, you know, counter together.
Yeah, absolutely. So our freshmen have come in, and I will say that it, you know, the best thing about freshmen, they become sophomores, right? I learned that really on in my coaching career. An assistant coach told me that one year, and that stuck with
us. That's amazing.
I mean, it's true to a lot of ways. And in other ways, there are times where they just don't know any better. And that's been a huge positive. Like, they don't know any better that they shouldn't be cheering that huge kill because we're down by 10, right? Like, you still want that in your team. And they've been able to bring that spark and bring that youthfulness, you know, kind of back in. They don't know that we're, you know, quote unquote, supposed to get beat by this team, or we're supposed to beat them by 20 or whatever it might be. They go out there and play at the same level all the time. And that's been great for our team and our energy and that communication that comes in. I think that our two captains, our two juniors, Campbell Carter and Ellie Brettnacher, they have been fantastic in this communication, helping lead. They're not always the vocal leaders out on the court. They're going to go over to you one-on-one and be like, hey, this spot is open. Or, hey, that's not how we do things. Let's do it this way. Campbell was actually one of them that was leading that TikTok of where to stand during the football games and pick up your trash and that sort of thing. So it's just been really good to see these girls grow into those leadership roles, whether it's celebrating that kill whether it's, hey, this spot is open or that's not how we do things, or bringing everybody together, you know, there on the court and having that celebration.
And if you want to go to TikTok and check out that video, they do a lot of things telling you where the band is. That was probably my favorite part of the entire video. Go to @gopher.gang on TikTok. Definitely give them a follow. I loved how they were talking about throwing the trash away.
Yeah.
But one thing that I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, I believe your team had an exemplary behavior report. Mm-hmm. Kind of talk about that, because to me, I think those are that's the coolest part.
Absolutely.
of the entire season.
It definitely is. And that was at our Benton Central game. And Benton Central has a heck of a volleyball team. I mean, they are a great team. And so I knew going in, right, as a coaching staff, kind of what to expect. But we didn't talk about that with the players. You know, we wanted them to, you know, again, sometimes it's better not to know.
Yes.
And they came in, and our girls, at one point, we were down 20-4, right, which is just a horrible place to be, even with a fantastic team across the net.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our freshman outside hitters, Emmy Kaser, she went up and she got a kill, and she celebrated like that was the winning point of sectional, which was just huge for us. Like, that was a huge moment for us as a team. And then we just kept going from that moment. We ended up losing that set, I think, 25-11, you know, or something like that. And they were all, you know, kind of right in there. But the fact was, the score didn't matter. Those girls didn't give up. They were celebrating the small things. They were, hey, I got that pass. Like, you know, that server was great, and I got that one up. Those were the moments. And so the next day, one of our referees, Greg, gave me a call, and he goes, hey, I just wanted to compliment your team on the fact that they didn't give up. Like, that was a better team across the net, and that's okay, but your girls continued to celebrate. They continued to lead in a positive way. Like, you have to be proud of them as a coach. And, you know, absolutely we were. That was a huge moment. He said, you know, I really picked out number 7. That was Emmy. And he's like, I'm going to put in an exemplary report for her. And so I just wanted to give you a heads up that I thought that was great that she was celebrating that, especially as a freshman, right? You could have gotten really down. And he also brought up our libero, one of our captains, Campbell, and he goes, she was always leading. She was still bringing your team together. Like, those things are huge. And, you know, to have that is a great moment. That makes you proud as a coach, right? To have that someone else recognizes it too.
And the schools are doing a lot by making sure that sometimes the kids get a plaque or they get a certificate or something like that as well. Just, you know, go online for an exemplary behavior report. And if you saw something wonderful, say it. I mean, you know, there's so much negativity in the world. We want to add the positive. And speaking of the positive, I believe your next game is Tuesday.
Our next home game is Tuesday. So we travel to Tri-County on Monday.
Yeah, you got that NBA schedule.
Yes.
Almost.
Yep, pretty much. And then we are at home on Tuesday, away on Thursday, and at Jeff Invite on Saturday. So busy week next week.
And you've got a pretty special thing as we kind of close out. It's your, I believe, your teacher staff appreciation game. Kind of talk about that a little bit.
So our home matches, we try to do something different at each one. And whether it's youth night, you know, whether it's our mental health night, coming up at our Frankfurt match, those different things, we try to bring some positivity because it's bigger than just the game of volleyball. We love volleyball, but we know that it's not just that and that there's more to it. We want to make these, you know, humans, these ladies, better individuals when they leave our program than when they came in. And so part of that is recognizing the important people in their life, the people that make a difference to them. And so the first one that's coming up is our teacher staff appreciation. Each player gets to pick a staff member over at Clinton Prairie. That can be a teacher, a custodian, a coach, whoever that might be for them. And we recognize them that night. And so the teachers don't know who picked them. They get an invite from us about a week and a half ago. They'll come to that game and be recognized, and they'll find out the girl that selected them. And so it's just a fun way to say thank you to our teachers and to the staff and all that they do. Even as coaches, we get to pick people to come to that game, and just to kind of bring that crowd too and show them, like, hey, it's more than volleyball. And we appreciate all that you do to help us play the game we love, whether that's classroom or otherwise.
Mind, body, spirit, and soul.
Absolutely.
All wrapped in one, right? Well, Coach, thank you very much for coming in studio today and chatting with us. We'll definitely be chatting with you more down the road, but good luck for the rest of the season.
Yes, thank you very much.
And, Coach, we might be able to see if we can get you in on this. Typically on Saturdays, we do our special college football picks. So far, Sam and I are deadlocked at 2-1. So
I
think I'm going to let you have Sam's pick today. College game day is in Tennessee today, and Chop, who are they playing today? Did we get any inside info on who Tennessee is playing today?
Coach, I have no idea.
You have no idea?
Okay. We don't even have the mascot heads. We can't do this right.
Like, Coach Corso.
Yeah, I know. We need Coach Corso and everything like that. So, my Indiana Hoosiers victorious last night.
They were.
Chop, talk about Purdue just a little bit, because I want to make sure that I get this right for our picks.
Well, one thing last season about Purdue is they only won one game, and that was the very first game of the season. This year, they got a new head coach with Barry Odom. Purdue's off to a 2-0 start. They've not really seen much competition, but they'll definitely have a good test ahead of them today as USC comes in today from California as they're one of the newest members of the Big Ten Conference. So today they'll have a pretty good test of how the season should shape up the rest of the year.
If Snoop Dogg is in attendance, I would like an autograph, please, and definitely get a picture. All right, we've got the inside info. This is going to be a big one in the SEC. Number 6, Georgia, at number 15, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Coach, you are our guest, so I will let you go ahead and pick first. I think we might just do this here on out and everything like that.
Yeah, there you go.
I do not prepare any type of research whatsoever, as you know. I couldn't even remember who was playing. So you got the Georgia Bulldogs at the Tennessee Volunteers. Who are you going with, Coach?
All right, well, I would normally pick Georgia, right, because it's hard to pick against Georgia usually in college football. But at home, at Tennessee, I'm picking Tennessee. You can write it down. I'm going to
write
it
down?
Okay. Yep, I'm taking the Volunteers.
Okay, Coach Martin is taking the Volunteers. Coach Chop, who are you taking? This coach is only broadcast today on Inside the Huddle.
I'm going against Coach today, and I'm going with the Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, okay. All right, so that leaves me to be the one who is going to not sing Rocky Top, but I think they're going to be singing Rocky Top quite a bit today. I'll go with Tennessee. So, I love you, though, Chop.
Kirby Smart, did you hear them?
That will do it for this episode of Inside the Huddle for September 13th, 2025. Actually figured out what the date was during one of the commercial breaks. Thanks so much to all our coaches calling in, and thanks to all of you for tuning in and joining us. For Coach Kathy Martin, I'm Kyle Etherington, and for Isaac Chavez, cheering on those Georgia Bulldogs, Rocky Top, Tennessee. We'll see you next time. So long, everybody.